Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the lights.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Special edition. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler with my co-host Jason T. Lieber from the state of Kentucky. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ around the world. We would ask that you would take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. Or you can call us at the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your immediate area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. In the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast. And we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be with my co-host Jason on the broadcast this evening as he break unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will continue to bless his efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom and his family that supports him as well. Father, we pray that you would be with our listeners this evening. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked that will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten son to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast this evening. Our speaker on this evening's show will be my co-host, Jason T. Lieber. And open your Bibles now and open your minds and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Jason Lieber. Enjoy the show.
Lord, you know, every
everything I've done, every thought I've had, you know everyone, and Lord, you know, every time I fall, still you come to my rescue when I call, and Lord, you hear every idle word. Every thoughtless deed, how it seems absurd, that Lord you give, not what I am due, but mercy, you come to my rescue, you come to my rescue, you come to my rescue. Being there for my rescue, and Lord, I give all I can give,
all
of my heart, long as I shall live. So Lord, oh Lord, I just wanna thank you for coming. For coming to my rescue,
you come to my rescue.
You come to my rescue. Every breath gonna let you know.
I am accepting, though I can't comprehend
how I could be worth the cost when I was bound to find the Lord. I give all I can give.
All
of my heart, long as I shall live. So Lord, oh Lord, I just wanna thank you.
I really wanna thank you
for coming,
for coming
to my rescue.
Oh, you come to my rescue.
You come to my rescue.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition. Now, my co-host, Jason Lieber, and his subject, Bad Ideas to Obtain Money.
Hello, everyone. This is great to be here with Stevie this evening, and great to be with all of you who are listening to this broadcast. We need to thank Stevie for all of the hard work that he does to keep this going, and he does all of the scheduling and everything behind the scenes, and we just get on here and do the talking. So we thank him for doing all that work. so that this can be possible. And of course, first and foremost, we thank Jesus Christ. He has made all of this possible by saving us and giving us an opportunity to help others to be saved too. I'm going to talk about a lot of sin this evening in this subject. It's important, though, because a lot of people can be carried away into various lusts and desires because of the love of money. And we're going to look at this together this evening, but I want you to know, if you're listening, out there listening, and whether you're a Christian or not, if you are caught up in any of these sins, we urge you, we plead with you to get out of them, and that you repent and that you get right with Jesus, because that it's so important to recognize how destructive all the things that we're going to talk about tonight truly, how truly they are, and how that it does not please the Lord to live in such a manner. One thing we just want to get straight before we get started is that money itself, even though in Luke 16:9 it's called unrighteous mammon, is not in and of itself evil or unrighteous. What Jesus means there in that context, talking as he gives a parable about the unjust steward, and he talks about unrighteous mammon, is that it's temporal in nature, that you can't trust it. No matter how much money you have, doesn't mean you're going to have it tomorrow. And you can talk to people who've had stock, and the stock market fell, and you know, different things like that, and you can lose it quickly. Someone can steal your money, so we're not to lay our treasures up on earth, but in heaven for that reason. But he doesn't call it that once again because it's inherently evil. But the love of money, as Paul warns us and strongly tells us, is sinful, the love of money. And because of this, people will do various things to obtain it. And we're going to look at all of those bad ideas this evening, maybe not all of them, but we will cover a bulk of them as we look at this lesson. So we don't want to soften the blow, because we can say that it's not money itself that leads us into sin. Let's not forget, though, that the love of money does, and that you can actually also be a servant of money. You know, money is a wonderful servant, but a horrible master. If we use money properly, then it does us well, and we can use it to glorify God. Otherwise, it entraps us. If we let God be our master, money cannot be, and we will be able to deal with it righteously. And that's what we want to look at this evening. Look at some bad ideas to go about making money. And I want us to not only consider that how we obtain money, if we do it in the wrong way, makes it wrong, but just as important, the negative effect it has on those we get it from in a bad way. We need to look at the people that are hurt on the other side whenever money is taken dishonestly. So let's start this list. Let's look at it. I want to look at three bad ideas, and then afterwards I want to look at some solutions to a better idea, the good idea that God gives us, how to obtain money, and some solutions to these problems that we're going to be discussing. The bad idea number one is extortion. Paul writes to the church at Corinth to not keep company with anyone named a brother who is an extortioner. Those who extort obtain money or possessions by force, intimidation, or unlawful power. According to Solomon, extortion includes charging a high amount of interest on borrowed money. We can read that in Proverbs chapter 28 in verse 8. Extortion really is a goat's belly term. It includes a variety of distasteful ways to gain wealth. It would include robbery, blackmail, price gouging, etc. There is one thing all forms of extortion have in common. It is an exertion of power to prey on the weak. However, God gives power to help others. He does not use his powers to harm people. And so this is certainly totally against God's nature. And what is, of course, driving people to do this, among other things, one would be greed. And we certainly live in a world that is full of greed. And that's what drives people to commit extortion. Let's look at another bad idea. Bad idea number two is theft. Probably all of us have heard of the term kleptomania. It means a persistent neurotic impulse to steal. Klepto is derived from a Greek word translated into steal throughout the New Testament. Paul writes in Ephesians, "Let him who stole," or klepto, "steal no longer." You may already be asking the question, why not list theft with extortion? Well, all extortion is theft or stealing, but not all stealing is extortion. The thief comes by night. The robber steals at gunpoint. The first is done secretly. The second is done openly. What are some other forms of theft that are done secretly? Embezzlement, swindling, conning, petty theft, just to name a few. Whatever form it presents itself in, we need to abstain from it. So when we look at these first two, extortion and theft, I would think that probably everybody, for the most part, understands why these are wrong, even when they're doing them. They know that it's not right. Here in a few moments, I want to look at one that probably is, that's not the case. People probably don't consider it to be wrong. But before we get to that one, I want us just to think about these other two just a little bit more when we think about them. You know, people often think that they can steal just a little bit, and that's okay. And you see young people who start out stealing small amounts, but if you go and you talk to anybody in prison, and I've talked, I used to do some prison ministry. I haven't been doing it the past 6 months, but I have done it. I did it for 7 years. I did it for about 5 years in Texas and 2 years in Tennessee, but I've been in Kentucky for 6 months now, and maybe I'll get back into it. But I've talked to many people in the prisons, and thankfully there are people in there that repent and are in prison because of extortion and theft. I've talked to someone who was in a robbery. He was a robber, and he was shooting at the police, and they were shooting at him, and it was just a bad situation. And then other people who were thieves but not robbers, but in all of it, they would tell you that it starts out small, that you start out stealing just a little, and then it grows over time. And so this is nothing to play with. Well, we are not to think that a little sin, we can get it under control. Sin is one of those things that takes you further than what you want to go. It keeps you longer than what you want to stay, and makes you poor, pay more than what you would like to. It's something that that is just not worth the effort doing. And in fact, it's actually kind of odd, because people have to work hard to steal. Why would you work hard to steal and to extort and to do these things when you know the consequence, the end result? It just really doesn't make any sense. And Paul and other New Testament writers and Jesus are certainly expose the error of dishonesty in this way. We are not to participate in bad idea number one or bad idea number two. No extortion and no theft. Nothing of that nature. No embezzlement, swindling, conning, petty theft, blackmail, robbery, price gouging, scams, whatever it is that people do to get money. It's just something that they need to repent of if it is in one of these categories. And like I said, the third one that I want to look at together this evening is one that I think that people really don't think is wrong. It's increasingly become something that's accepted in America, but we need to abstain from it too. And here it is. Bad idea number three is gambling. Some may be shocked that this made the list. perhaps the consensual nature of gambling hides its sinfulness. However, consider this. Would we ever justify consenting adulterers? Of course not. In fact, if one party wins, and now I'm talking about gambling, too much in a harmless game of poker, the loser often feels cheated. Is this not telling of the true nature of the game? I've got some more facts that I want to share, and I'm going to provide some scripture with it. But just because two people decide to sit down together and to play a game doesn't make it right. It doesn't, of course, make it wrong either. But we also need to look at some other scripture and think about this deeper. And if we do, I think you'll see that this is not the route to go to make money. Gambling is a kind of cheating because it is an unfair system of profit. Winners always gain at someone's expense without the exchange of labor and money where both sides can profit. In honest activities that involve money, everyone can profit in one way or another, but gambling does not allow that at all times. Losers in gambling often walk away with nothing. Casinos do not like it when everybody wins. They make a lot of money off the bettor's loss. While all of this is done willfully, the gambling enterprise is driven by greed. Psalm 119:36 reads, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." Fact number two about gambling that we need to consider, hopefully this will help others help you see that it is not the route to take, is that it can be an easy and quick but unreliable way of making money. What does God say about chasing fantasies? If you say, "I gamble, but not because I have a fantasy to win the money," I want you to do this next time you place a wager. If you win, give it back. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19, we read this: "Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty." And when you look at someone who is caught up in the bondage of gambling, it leads a lot of them into poverty. In fact, if someone keeps on gambling, it ultimately will lead them into poverty if they never stop. Of course, there would probably be some argument some people might make. There are professional gamblers who know what they're doing. Yeah, but you know what? When the casinos find out that they know what they're doing and they can cheat to win, they don't let them back in. And that, of course, doesn't make it right because it's still unfair because they're taking people's money. And so that would not be right, but someone might make that argument that it's not a gamble for them. It's not the way to go. Let's look at another fact. Fact number three: gambling makes real labor less desirable because money is involved. Let's think about this together. If people played the games involved in gambling without making bets, then it would be just a game, and this discussion would be unnecessary. Everyone likes to play games because of the thrill of competition and winning. No doubt, this is part of the hook of gambling, but a minor one to say the least. Take the money out of the games, then no one would go all the way to Las Vegas to play blackjack or poker. They would be satisfied to do it at home. The money is the real hook. The love of it. Those who gamble cannot deny it. If they do, they are lying to themselves. Just like stealing, gambling is a profession. It is a line of work, but an unapproved one at that. Because of the possible major payoff of money versus effort and time, what we traditionally call a get-rich-quick scheme, gambling inherently makes good and honest labor less desirable. And anything that by itself diminishes the strength of God's will in our hearts cannot be right. Ephesians 4:28 reads, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." And so that gets us to our solutions to the problem. Notice what Paul says, honest labor. We're going to talk about honest labor for a moment and also other solutions to this problem of gambling. Paul offers the alternative to greed or covetousness as contentment. Contentment. We need to learn here in this country to be content with what we have. Now, just because we're not doesn't mean we're going to go gamble. That's certainly not what I'm saying. But people who do gamble, or maybe they're under a pressure situation and they've got to come up with some money quick, and they think, well, I'll just go out and gamble and get it, or I'll go out and steal it and get it, or I'll go out and rob someone and get it. Of course, all of those would be wrong as we've been looking at. But we have to learn to be content with what we have. That's going to help us. Now, talking about the second problem, if we need some money quick, well, how are we going to get that? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But we have to be content with what we have. Instead of looking at what other people have and fantasizing about it, dreaming about it, thinking we have to have everything that our heart desires to be happy is certainly a deception of Satan. And in fact, it is just a revolving door. We just keep getting more and more and more and more and more and more. We can never get enough. We can never fill ourselves up with enough. And so that's what makes it deceptive. So the idea is to be at peace, is to be thankful for what you have. And Paul, once again, gives us as an alternative. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, it reads, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Paul is saying, look, if you have the necessities of life, be content. Be thankful. And so now let's think about some more things that are helpful to us. Well, the basic commands that we, the two most basic and most important commands that we see in the New Testament, even Jesus said they were in the Old Covenant, we find in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so this is the solution to problem number two. Maybe there comes a time when we need some money. We don't have it. We wonder where we're going to get it. Well, this is where trust comes in. We must trust God. Pray that we can get that money we need to pay off debt. Pray that we can have a job that we can use and use that job to give gifts to other people, you know, and whatever it is that is godly and that we can do with our money if we want it to spend on other people and even spend on ourselves some. I mean, you know, God's not opposed to that. He's not opposed to us having things, but he is opposed to us coveting people's things and getting money in a dishonest way. Trust him. Serve him. Seek the kingdom first. These are the things that are important for us to do, and that's what it means or equivalent to love God with all your heart, that you will trust him in those situations. Maybe you see that people, you know, I certainly would have sympathy for somebody who is in a bad situation, doesn't even have food to eat. Where is he going to get his food? It would be really difficult. I've never been in it, but I'm sure it would be a test of my faith to not go out and steal to get my food. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray, to trust him, and to seek to get things from his hand that gives, not to take from people we have no right to do that from. And so when we think about putting God in that place, that we are to trust him and to let him be the one who provides the things that we have, and that love that we have from God will fill us up and overflow into our lives, where we treat other people with respect. We look at what they own. It belongs to them. We recognize that. And if we think we can steal from them, we need to understand we're actually stealing from God, because God owns everything anyway. But we will love our neighbors. We'll love all people and respect what they have, what they've worked for, and what belongs to them. Instead of thinking, we can take it by force, by secrecy, by dishonesty, or anything of that nature. And so when we look at those first two, be content, love God, and love your neighbor. But number three, as we've already talked about, and as we looked at in Ephesians when Paul said to work honestly, we need to work honestly for what we get. And that, and when we do, we have nothing to hide. It's unfortunate, and that people get themselves in bad situations, and they have to hide things because they're embezzling money. They have to hide things because they've stolen it. They got to get rid of it quickly. They got to, you know, to and they're trying to. And that tells you in of itself, it's wrong. People know it. But we see here that if we understand the value of honest labor and the rewards of honest labor, not just getting the money honestly so we can have, provide for our families and buy possessions and things, but what we also see that in and of itself it's a reward because it helps us to maintain our own self-respect and integrity, and we don't want to throw that away. We want to be able to keep that. And we need to think about all of this when we seek to get money. Let us make sure that we do it the right way. Let us ditch all the bad ideas of obtaining money so we do not fall into the ditch of greed's bondage with its many sorrows. Instead, let us labor with our hands, working a good and honest profession, one that brings glory to God, not shame to us. The way we handle money can tell the world two things. One, if we handle it rightly, that we are deeply committed to Christ. Two, if we handle it sinfully, that we lack true commitment to Christ. It has been said before that how we handle money reveals much about the depth of our commitment to Christ. That's why Jesus often talked about money. And so, not just the ownership of money, but how we get it. And so it has been said by Zig Ziglar, integrity gives you real freedom because you have nothing to fear since you have nothing to hide. And so let us remember this, to stay away from bad ideas, extortion, theft, and gambling. And let us also remember the three solutions. Be content, love God and your neighbor, and work honestly for what you get. Well, I want to thank Steve for this opportunity. I want to just say, share just a little true story, which is certainly sad, but just to show us that it pierces people through with many sorrows. I know of a fella who embezzled money, and he got caught, and he knew, or he not yet, he knew he was going to get caught, and he was a man who professed to be a Christian, and many people held in high esteem, and he ended up killing himself, committing suicide, and it sounds just like a modern-day Judas Iscariot, who would do anything to get money. You remember Judas, that he was a thief even before he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And even, but then he knew what he had done was wrong. He didn't want to face the consequences of his actions, and so he took his own life. And that sadly happened to someone that I knew. And we probably, if we were to continue to, from this point on and in the future, or we could go back and search on the internet, this has happened to numerous people who get so caught up into the bondage of sin regarding greed and this dishonest ways to get money. Some of them ultimately end up committing suicide, and it's just not a good thing. It's a sad thing, and Paul warns us of this, though, and Jesus warns us of it. Not to build your house on the shifting sand, but upon the rock, his word. And that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And there it talks about, he is referencing contentment, that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness and we seek to live the way that Jesus lays out, it will be good for us, beneficial for us, and we will never have to pay that the consequence of getting ourselves caught up in these sorrows and sadness that it can be. But before I close, I want to say there is still hope for you. If you're caught up in any of these sins, please, I beg you, I plead with you not to continue to go down that route. Stop. Repent. If you need help, get help. Most importantly tonight, get forgiveness. If you're a Christian already, ask God to forgive you. If you're not a Christian, why don't you do the right thing and obey the gospel? Change. Repent. Confess your faith in Jesus as both Lord and God and be baptized into Him so that the old man of sin can be put to death. And if you, when you come out of the watery grave of baptism, you will come out a new creature. That doesn't mean the temptations will go away, but your sins will be forgiven. And you won't have to, that won't be over your head anymore. And go get the help that you need if you're caught up in any of these sins. I want to thank Steve for giving me this opportunity, and I thank him for the work that he's done, that he continues to do with this. I want to thank all of the co-hosts that are, that as we all work together to teach and preach the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless, and have a good evening.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact us at my telephone number, business line 910-491-6405 in the Carolina studio, or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureships of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville, Florida congregations. The Newburgh Church of Christ, located in Louisville, Kentucky, is currently seeking a full-time minister. Please submit all inquiries to the newburghcoc@gmail.com. Candidates will be forwarded a description and application packet. Completed packets should be submitted along with the candidate's resume, references, and doctrinal philosophies, a sample audio or video recording of a sermon. On November the 24th and the 25th, 2018, the 25th anniversary celebration will be held at the East Glen Park Church of Christ, and that address is 505 East 45th Avenue, Gary, Indiana. And the theme is a joyful celebration in spiritual song. On Sunday, November 25th, there'll be a worship service at 10:15 a.m. There'll be an anniversary dinner served at 12:30 p.m. There'll be a program at 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon. The guest speaker will be James Burris of the Hickby Church of Christ in Jackson, Mississippi. And the guest song leader will be Joseph Hope from Los Angeles, California. For more information, please give him a call at 291-884-8405. On November the 30th through December the 1st, 2018, the 34th Annual Ladies Conference will be held at the Southside Church of Christ. And that address is 800 Elmer Avenue, Durham, North Carolina, 27707. And the theme for this conference will be First Things First. The text, Matthew 6:33, Mission Possible. The keynote speaker will be Mary Carter from the Gold Hill Church of Christ. For more information, please visit the website at www.sside.org. On November the 17th through the 22nd, 2018, the 2018 Southwestern Christian College lectureships will be held in Terrell, Texas. On March the 21st through the 24th, 2019, the Millennial Reach Collaborative presents God's Planned Millennial Reach Conference. And that address is the Marriott Miami Airport, address 1201 Northwest Lejeune Road at the Miami, in Miami, Florida, 33126. On January the 20th through the 24th, 2019, the New Golden Heights Church of Christ will be hosting their 43rd annual Ministers Institute, and the theme will be The Case for the Holy Spirit. And that address is 2051 Northwest Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33311. And that telephone number is 954-735-2907. On November the 22nd through the 24th, 2018, the National Academy Christian Acapella Music Awards will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Jacksonville, Florida. On Saturday, November the 24th, there'll be a Nakamo 2018 Saturday matinee featuring Straight Company and Dorian Paul Williams. For more information, please visit the website at nanakamo.com. On December the 3rd and the 4th, 2018, the Newburgh Church of Christ will be hosting a homecoming, and their theme will be From Glory to Glory. That address is 4700 East Indian Trail, Louisville, Kentucky, 40216. And the telephone number for more information will be 502-966-5171. The guest speaker will be Diaz Anderson, and there will be a concert that Saturday featuring Genesis McClendon Archer and live from Jacksonville, Florida. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio the first Monday of every month. Like tonight, we have a special edition that we do for the Gospel Light Radio Show, and one of my co-hosts will be bringing a lesson from the Word of God for special topics. That's what that show is designed for, special topics specially requested by our listeners. On Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there'll be a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week we have guest speakers from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who'll be presenting lessons from the Word of God. I also have the Community Corner segment for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our communities. And my co-host Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, he'll also be presenting lessons on this broadcast. On Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And on that broadcast, I have 8 co-hosts who are presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week, I have 2 co-hosts who will be on the air. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, and posing these questions to my co-hosts. Then on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And the first week of the month, we're doing the Story Glory segment where we're interviewing artists or featuring new music, debuting old music as well. And the second week of the month, my daughter Tati B, she's co-hosting that show. She's doing my whole playlist. The third week, we're doing the Top 20 Countdown Show. The fourth week, we're doing the Talent Search Show. I give my listeners 60 seconds to stand on the world stage and sing their song. First and second place prizes will be awarded. And once a quarter, we're doing the Marathon Show. That's a 3-hour show for whatever group of artists that we're featuring on that show. And if you're an artist and you have music you'd like to be played on my radio show, just send me your MP3 formatted tracks via Dropbox. And my email address is srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can now listen to all of these shows, my on-demand episodes, through my affiliate internet stations on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on iTunes, on acaradio.net, on iWave Radio, on mccbroadcasting.com, on ivcbroadcasting.com, on YouTube. On the YouTube, go to the Church TV Network and search their playlist, Acapella Radio. You can also go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B, and see the on-demand episodes. And you can also go to World of Acapella. I want to thank my sponsors who are sponsoring this program. Sharon Norwood from Chicago, Illinois. Her company is Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthier living. And Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate their sponsorship. And the three E's of Stevie B's Media Production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, edify, and encourage you in God's word. And that will conclude our announcements. Show special edition.
I'm gonna keep on climbing this mountain till I reach higher ground.
Can't turn around.
I can't turn around.
Oh no.
So I ain't gonna stop now.
Anybody out there?
So the storm will blow.
Having trials and
tribulations.
Just wanna encourage you. Moving on.
I
need somebody who's been through something. Help me now.
I've had some ups and downs, hard times in my life.
I've had to wipe so many tears from my weeping eyes.
will last only for a night.
That's why I'll hold on till the morning light. You see the suffering we're going through, it don't compare to the dreads that wait for us all the day. I gotta keep on climbing, though sometimes we make it hard. But we ain't gonna stop till we reach the top. The devil tries to make us think there is no way out. Maybe you lost someone that was close to you.
Maybe you're sick and there's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah.
Just keep your eyes to the sky. When times get hard, keep pressing toward the prize.
Oh, you see, I try. They will last for long.
They only make them
so they gotta keep on.
Yes,
joy comes in the morning.
Yes,